Blog Talk Radio.
Well, well, my brothers and sisters, we're back. Yes, indeed, we're back again. Back again for another episode. Yes, another episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Eddie Miab, covering the Remembrance Ministry. So very thankful to the Most High, yes, indeed, for the opportunity. Yes, indeed, for the opportunity to be back with you here again to speak these very precious words. Yes, these very precious words the Most High has granted me for the blessing of His people. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, He has told me that I have for Him some very important things for Him to do. And He told me because of what I must do, He said to me that I would indeed accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But He told me that in doing for Him that which He has asked of me, I would have His protection and His guidance. For that, my brothers and sisters, I am utmost thankful. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, He's told me, and I must tell you things. He said that I must tell you things that men done everything they could from the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and if they could, to destroy. Well, my brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. Did you hear that latter part? He told me I must tell you things. That men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, deny, pervert, silence, and destroy. I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that if the Most High calls anyone, He does not call him to speak as with others. Most I call someone, the scriptures tell you in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 10:26-31, if a man sin willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, he's ready for the fiery indignation that consumes the adversaries. It's a terrible thing to fall into the hand of an angry living Yah. Something, my brothers and sisters, then, that must be considered. Do you really believe that those the Most High calls, he calls to speak as would so many others? Do you really think, my brothers and sisters, the Most High calls a soul to speak after the constraints of a worldly status quo, after a man has been called to see the exceeding knowledge and will of Yah? My brothers and my sisters, the scriptures would not speak of man having to overcome the world if the common standards that men are exposed to every day and their multitude of differences could be truly called a covenant unto him. Most High, his name is holy, my brothers and sisters. The truth of his will is a very precious thing to have access to and to behold. The question I ask, my brothers and sisters, how many then, having access to the truth, have and would be, if they heard it, steadfast, faithful unto it? Again, this is Edom Yah of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So very thankful to the Most High for the opportunity to be back with you here again and welcoming you to the show. I have some important things to talk about tonight. In fact, I told you already, the Most High told me the things I must tell you are very important. And I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, straight out. Might sound like a bold statement to say, but the kind of truths that we relate here on this show, I've very rarely heard anyone even with a clue. And among those who seem to have something of a clue or claim to have something of a clue, rare are those, my brothers and sisters, who would declare these things to the full gamut of their massive implication. Many that I've even heard, many who will admit that these statements are true, but they haven't yet shown me that they have been willing to uphold the fullness of all that is the responsibility of a soul granted such knowledge. Most High has told me that I must tell you things that men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, deny, pervert, silence, and destroy. What it means, my brothers and sisters, is that without question, whoever the Most High would call to speak such things is counted upon to be faithful to the truth of the word. Like I said, the scripture says, if any man sin willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice be offered for his sins. Meaning if a man hears from the Most High the greater truth and turns back toward the misconceits that are common to the nations, to speak as would other men blinded, our brothers and sisters, much, much, much blood is upon his head. I would call attention, for instance, such scriptures as those in Ezekiel that relate what is the responsibility of one whom the Most High has called to see and speak those things which the world and its rulers for so long have sought to hide. I'd like to call to attention the book of Ezekiel. Oh, Father, help us. Grant us that we have your guidance, that in calling upon your name or claiming to speak for your name's sake, we be held faithful not to lie. Ezekiel, learning, like I said, my brother and sister, learning how not to lie. That in itself is an act of great deliverance. There's a lot of misconceits that exist in this world. 45,000 denominations in the world, and my brother and sister, there's only one Savior. 45,000 denominations in this world. And my brother and sister, let me tell you now, there are no 45,000 messiahs. No 45,000 ones the Most High calls faithful as a Savior. No 45,000, I know a lot of folks, so this might sound funny to put it this way, because, well, hey, of course we know what his name was not. We know his name was not Jesus, but let me tell you something. For those who would understand, please understand there's no 45,000 that the Most High sends. In his name, to redeem his people from all their error, from all their division, from all their sins. Scripture says, well, let me explain that first again. There's no 45,000 the Most High would send to redeem man from all his misallegiances, all the falsehood that have, all the falsehoods that have ravaged his soul. There's no 45,000, my brothers and sisters, belief systems that the Most High counts true to him. We're already warned that we should by no means take his name in vain. In other words, should not swear by his name according to the vantages of another. And since Yah is one, believe me, 45,000 denominations out here claiming to be believers, my brothers and sisters, are only bound in massive unbelief. True faith beyond all the misconceits of this world. I said true faith beyond all the misconceits of this world is not come of hearkening to men. True faith, my brothers and sisters, in the one Savior is not come ultimately of hearkening merely unto men, but hearing a word from Yah himself. And I'm talking about even if you hear the word of one who is faithful, to discern his word wisely and to preserve the nature of truth from whence he speaks. My brothers and sisters, that too is a gift of Yah. The capacity to understand is a gift of Yah. And I tell you now that those who would compromise the knowledge of the truth, or would not respect the perfect knowledge of the truth, or who would not show they would respect the sanctity of the holy name, my brothers and sisters, what makes people think that such as this would be found worthy of the very special truths that rare few ears, my brothers and sisters, have been blessed to truly hear and understand? I find it amazing that there are so many who totally, completely disrespect the Creator, totally disrespect him, and expect to be respected. They entirely disrespect the Most High and expect, according to whatever they decree or declare, to be favored. My brothers and sisters, I can only tell you the Most High is about to make it certain. About to make it certain, my brothers and sisters, that well, I'll put it to you this way. What he's about to bring to bear, it is, in fact, all about respect. It's all about a reverence point, about a point of reverence, that men should no longer lie against him. And men should know that to call upon his name, according to whatever men presume, is not sufficient. In fact, my brothers and sisters, by no means will offer men favor. Hey, Most High has already told us, the spirit of truth the world will not receive. What makes man think that he will be favored if he is double-minded and his convictions are not absolute unto the will of one? I'd like to relate a bit of scripture to you. Ezekiel 3 and 17. I said Ezekiel 3 and 17. And it reads in this wise, Son of man, I've set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. What does that mean? I've granted you, he is saying here to Ezekiel, capacity to see what others have not so often been comparatively speaking, capacitated to see. Granted the opportunity to see things through the eyes of the Most High, through the heart and the sentiments of the Most High, I can only tell you what Most High told me directly. He told me these words. He said to me, I've revealed to you the secrets of my heart, that you might discern the secrets of theirs. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, that when the Most High said to Ezekiel, I made thee a watchman into the house of Israel, what did he command that he must do? He said, therefore, hear the word in my mouth and give them a warning from me. Wow, I can see a lot of people saying, well, why did the Most High tell all of us? My brothers and sisters, I can only ask you a question. Through the course of the centuries of mankind, how many of my brothers and sisters, hearing the truth, have been faithful to it? How many times has the Most High granted man the knowledge of the truth? And the next thing you know, he's fallen away in his pride, in his self-righteousness. So many times feeling that he is favored at whatever dimension of conscience unto which he seeks to acclaim. And so often, feeling himself blessed. Man has not found the need or realized how important it is. And when the Most High declares the truth, how important it is to preserve it all. Most High told me that I have some very important things to speak to you. I would dare to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that if those around you haven't told you these truths, they have lied to you. If they made you believe that what you had was sufficient without these truths, they lied to you. If they told you another scenario other than those that I would show you here, they lied to you. If they didn't teach you these things, my brothers and sisters, they robbed you. In fact, they murdered so many of your souls. If they didn't tell you these things, my brothers and sisters, they compelled many to be arrogant against the truth of the Most High. If they didn't tell you these things, they have predisposed the minds to resist hearing the truth. They compel men to arrogantly blaspheme and even insult the holy name if they didn't tell you these truths. Most High said the things that I must tell you are very important. What does it mean by important, my brothers and sisters? It means that no man without them is made whole. It means that no man without them is saved or delivered from those who would keep you in the darkness. No man without these things, my brothers and sisters, complete before the Most High. No man without these things, my brothers and sisters, even has a serious enough, a powerful enough foundation after which to truly exercise the gift of the Spirit, even if it were given to them. No man without these truths, my brothers and sisters, no man without these truths has what is necessary to see the complete interconnectivity of the Holy Word. Ancient man, knew the greatest gift the Most High gives. Well, there's an ancient word they sometimes use in ancient languages. It's the Vol Mono principle. It relates intelligence or the capacity to see the interconnectivity, the relativity between seemingly irrelevant facts, events, ideas. Scripture says the Holy Spirit seeks to teach all things, no lie in it. Bring all things to remembrance. How about to declare beyond all the misconceits that men have established so often, misconstruing the holy words, and like I said, 45,000 denominations? Wow. So many believing entirely alternate scenarios different from what the scriptures actually have said. And some, my brothers and sisters, so predisposed after the illusions that they have heard, if you told them the real truth, they still, even if they read the real truth, they still try to find a way to see the misconceits that are already in their hearts. My brothers and sisters, that is not the result of the grace and the gift of Yah. That's the result of blindness. That's the result, my brothers and sisters, of so many being so blinded by the misconceits of this world that they haven't even discerned what faith is. The scripture says, saved by grace through faith, and you already told about the idea that salvation not after the works of men. It's already told me all works of the conceits of men or the conversation of men, like in Ephesians 2. In other words, not after the idea of the same wise of men, not according to what people call good, but what the Most High has already defined as whole and complete. Scriptures already tell us, my brothers and sisters, that we ought to be his workmanship according to what Yah has from the beginning foreordained. When Scripture says already that salvation not according to the conversation, the designs, conceit seeming wise unto men, you ever stop to consider, my brothers and sisters, that if we see the contradictions that exist in the world, as many as there are, and refuse to acknowledge, I say, we see the many contradictions, the many contradictions that exist in the world today, and we choose to believe somehow that for all these massive contradictions, that they are somehow true of the Most High, that's not even faith in the very principle of the Holy Name. He says his name is holy. I repeat, he says his name is holy. His name is blessed. No contradictions. I repeat, no contradictions in it. Therefore, what I'm saying to you is that if men think that faith is a matter of believing a multitude of contradictions and countermanded ideas of seeing wise unto men, then men have not had faith at all. I repeat, Yah is one. If you're looking for a solution to a problem, should not be like the heathen thinking that the solution means that you have to compromise with all the misconceits of entirely juxtaposed ideas and opinions. The only solution that resolves all things is true, my brothers and sisters, what the Most High from the beginning himself has declared. He said in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with Yah, the Word was Yah. In the beginning, my brothers and sisters, that's it, in the beginning, what the Most High declares from the beginning. The purpose for which he made all things from the beginning declares. What is the eventuality? What is the solution? A man without the capacity to discern initial truth needs to understand something. All that's required for a man to fall short of salvation is that the initial purpose of the Most High be the initial purpose of the Most High is declared from the beginning, the word that is from the beginning, the purpose that is from the beginning, the plan that is from the beginning, that the Most High is related to an eventuality be hid from him. If that truth, the initial truth, be hid from him, he's subject to someone who, after this fallen state of man, has sought to exalt himself either in his ignorance, his arrogance, his selfish ambition, his blindness, my brothers and sisters, or outright treachery. Hear me, the word that is from the beginning and the rediscovery of all the Most High has intended as the purpose for man from the beginning and having your heart open to receive it, that's the only hope for salvation. Don't let 45,000 denominations, everyone according to his own will, deceive you, because anyone who would do so, my brother and sister, would rob you. Ezekiel 3:17, Messiah calls him Son of Man. What separates man from beast? The capacity to reason at a higher level. One of the first words for man, I keep speaking about it again, is God mind, that which Most High is capacitated to commune with him. But if man refuses to reason, does he fulfill the purpose of man? He says, Son of Man, I set thee as a watchman into the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth. So the same thing to Abraham. And give them a warning from me. If all people could see what the watchman sees. Would they need a watchman? You see, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die. Well, that's really when most I say, when I say unto thee, concerning the wicked, that thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked, the lawless, from his wicked way. How about his ways of resistance against the greater truth? In other words, you seek to tell them what they have not known. For a long time they have refused to acknowledge, refused to obey.
He said, when you say unto the wicked, the word wicked means lawless. Also can be laid the connotation of confused or ignorant. Thou shalt surely die. In other words, understand. We talk about a covenant, everybody has to come to the same consensus in truth. All that is written of old, for I learned that we through patience and faith in scriptures might have hope, bringing all people to obedience and word and deed, like-minded. Scripture says the Messiah will come for the remembrance of all things, the restoration of all things, spoken by the mouth of the holy prophet, the restitution of all things. In other words, guess what? Wherever man has spoken falsely or has not even believed, not believed when the truth was told, or refused to hear when he had opportunity to grow into it, there's going to be a restitution. Man will be rewarded if he has listened. My brother and sister, humiliated if he has not. According to all things the Most High has spoken through the mouth of his holy prophet since the world began, so whoever will not hearken to that cumulative word, giving consideration of all things, Acts 3:18 through 23 says he's cut off from among the people. What made people ever think that at any time in history that they may have resisted acquisition of the greater knowledge of the truth or the opportunity to grow? What makes people think that they were still made whole, sufficient, worthy to be preserved? Or shall men say that they desire that the Most High would accept an offering that before him is less than zealous for the fullness of his will, and still call it worthy? So when you say, when the Most High says to his watchman, concerning those who been rebellious, have not grown to the dimension they should have, refused to hear the truth, chose to operate in an alternate manner. He said, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and I give them not a warning, when I speak is to warn the wicked man from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall still die in his iniquity. In other words, ignorance is not an excuse. But his blood, he says, will I require at thine hand. My brothers and sisters, how many really want to truly know the secrets? How many want and would handle the responsibility of knowing the truth that so often in knowing and declaring so many choose to despise rather than kind of a blessing to hear? How many have faith enough, my brothers and sisters, in what the Most High has declared to do what he has declared must be done? Regardless of the attitudes of so much diversely corrupt and unbelieving worldly status quo. He said, if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked ways, he shall die in his iniquity, if you have delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man does turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, get my point, turns from what is fully true unto the Most High, and he turns away from it, and he turns to some standard less, some form of injustice, less than the purpose of which man was made. And I lay astounded before some of thy before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him a warning, he shall die in his sin. And his righteousness which he has done should not be remembered, but his blood, he says, are required at thine hand. How many want to handle that responsibility? And how many would handle it faithfully? Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man, if the righteous man sin not, and he does not sin, he should surely live. In other words, if he the Most High help a man attain to a level of conscience, if he is warned to remain steadfast, he said, if you warn the righteous man that he sin not, and he does not sin, he should surely live, because he is warned, and thou hast delivered thy soul. My brothers and sisters, and the hand of the Most High was upon me, Ezekiel said, and he said to me, arise, go forth into the plain, and I will there talk with thee. Then I arose. Hmm.
There's other scriptures that relate this concept. If I carry it too much further, okay, this is going into another scenario. But I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, many say the Most High has spoken to them, and I have to ask the question, why do they speak at the same level of blindness that are common to most? Most of you who talk to them, most people call themselves believers or pastors today. You're talking about what is the implications of what I call the gospel of Shiloh. Fully verified in scripture from Genesis to Revelation. How many understand what you talk about, what you're talking about? How many of them have spoken up plainly concerning it? The secret city prophecies. Hey, prophecies related to this from Genesis to Revelation again. However, not everyone has been willing, even if they heard it, to speak up concerning it or embrace it fully. My brothers and sisters, when the scripture says, hear, O Israel, Yah is one, we must understand what it means. That word Shema does not mean just hear and obey. It means to declare. My brothers and sisters, shall the Most High make any man a light and he refuse to shine? Anyone who does so, my brothers and sisters, is still in the darkness. And my brothers and sisters, is counted one irresponsible as it regards the wisdom he has been granted. If I talk to many about what I call what was to the early church its origin, what was it that drew many to the early church? What was their expectation of old? My brothers and sisters, how many would be prepared to believe it? Finding out that what people call the church today, I wouldn't. In fact, I would tell you now, the prophets in the early church wouldn't call the church at all. They call it completely worldly. Nothing truly godly about it. And I'm talking about top to bottom, my brothers and sisters. I'm talking about folks who, and it's everything from completely polytheist Western to those who call themselves, say, even though they don't realize it, still polytheists themselves. A lot of folks call themselves Hebrew Israelite. They keep the feast, my brothers and sisters, but they forget that the Most High has declared that his people keep those things he has declared in holiness. And believe me, my brothers and sisters, there's so much compromise among folks who call themselves believers today. So much compromise even among those who say they call upon his name. It is obvious just simply calling upon the name of the Most High does not make all people one. The scriptures, however, do say that it shall come to pass in the last days that all those who call upon the name of the Most High shall be saved. How about made whole? How about made one? Shall be brought to an agreement? But that's only because Messiah himself shall reveal, in fact, the righteousness of Yah. It's very obvious that men call upon the holy name, or what they think it is. Think about it. How many people out there use the titles like Yahweh, Yahuwah? A lot of different titles I've heard. Jehovah, a lot of different titles I've heard people think is the holy name. I would tell you now that none of the titles that people have traditionally used today, none of them, I repeat, none of them are true to the actual vocable. It might sound hard to a lot of you, but I'm going to tell you this now. I know a lot of you look at that Yod-Heh Vav-Heh Tetragrammaton, and some of you want to say it's a W, some of you want to say it's a U. Well, I'll tell you right now, it's a V, but even at that point, I can only tell you that none of the tetragrammatons are four-letter extractions that you know of. My brothers and sisters, none of them include all the consonants that are truly in the holy name. I'm telling you now, my brothers and sisters, what makes people think that just because they call upon a name that the Most High calls them true to it? Scripture says that he overcomes, I'll reveal the hidden manna. He overcomes, he said, I'll reveal, my new name. What makes people think that if they call upon his name according to their own imagining, to deceive themselves, to deceive others, and to call the Most High according to who he is not and what he is not, what makes people think that that will grant them favor? I could only tell you, my brothers and sisters, there's something to really consider here. Scripture keeps talking about, even in Isaiah 62, there's a scripture there talking about he will call his people by a new name, which the Most High shall name. How about a name that they didn't know? A title they didn't have to call themselves? How about the fact the scripture says Messiah is a hidden one in Isaiah 45? The scripture says he's called by the Most High from the body of his mother. He called him by his name. And Isaiah 50 declares, just like Yohanan 3:14-21, that he has the name of the Most High. In fact, my brother and sister, he's called by the name of salvation. And what I would have you to understand, my brothers and sisters, is this. None of the titles that people think they know today are the actuality that the scripture says would be hid till the time comes the Most High reveal it to whom he chooses. One scripture says it's the name written that no man knows but he who receives it. What makes people think that they're just being given a name? Somebody asked me the other day, what do I know the holy name to be? What do they think? That I'm going to sit back and tell folks over the airwaves? Really? For people who don't believe and are too impetuous to believe, if they were granted the chance and are argumentative in the first place, tell them what indeed the holy name is? Wow. So they can do what with it? Let me ask you a question. If somebody was about to do something dastardly and they asked somebody what is their name so he could tell folks, somebody asked them what their name is, they tell them a different name. Think about it. Would you like to have your name slandered? Would you like to have your name set to all manner of ridicule and misrepresentation that by no means represents you as you are? Most High, my brothers and sisters, does not call himself what he is not. Revelation 19, for instance, says Messiah will come and have a name which no man knows but he himself. What does Isaiah 49 say? He says he has a name from birth, but in the shadow of his hand is the Most High concealed him. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, even the name the Most High has, there's an ancient, the Most High gives Messiah. I can only tell you the ancient mystics knew that there's a missing. If you're given a name with a missing consonant in it, they relate still yet the principle of the holy name. But my brothers and sisters, it's not the full vocal. Things like this, my brothers and sisters, a lot of folks haven't considered. They want to be proud of themselves, saying, because a lot of folks feel themselves ashamed. You mean you're calling upon a God, if you will? A supreme being whose name you don't know, my brothers and sisters, to know, even if you were to know his name and not be willing to uphold fully the principle of it, my brothers and sisters, is to put yourself in a lot of trouble. He said, you shall not call upon his name in vain. In other words, not after the vanities or the presumptuousnesses of any man. Scripture says, in Jerusalem shall be deliverance to a remnant whom the Most High has called. It says, all who call upon the name of the Most High shall be deliverance. And in Jerusalem shall be deliverance to a remnant whom the Most High has called. Meaning the Most High himself has to reveal the principles of his name and those who show themselves faithful to that principle are they who, unto whom his name would be revealed. And I don't mean just my brothers and sisters his name, because his name is much more than a vocable that men would speak. Believe it, my brothers and sisters, if your conscience cannot awaken to the gravity or the precepts behind that name, then you still, even wanting not to, would defile it. I think about the kind of things that were said with regard to the parents of Samson, and they asked an angel, what was his name? Some text says, why do you ask my name? Some texts say it is incomprehensible. Some texts say it is wonderful. In other words, it's something that's above everybody, or let's say ordinary understanding. It is wonderful. It is an inspired thing to comprehend. Scripture talk about the idea. Some texts, my brothers and sisters, say, why do you ask my name? You wouldn't understand it. And believing, my brothers and sisters, to declare or say that one declares true to the will of Yah without understanding is a misrepresentation. I started to name this show initially. Worthy and true unto the holy name. Well, I mean, they don't allow you one title. But I just simply say this, my brothers and sisters. There are truths. But the scripture said in the last days, people will find out that their rulers had never told them. That means those who walk according to the status quo, not knowing these truths, even if they called upon the holy name, could never speak rightly for it. And that means they can only lie. If all they know is what the system has decreed. Scripture says Messiah himself will come, but he will speak not according to what his eyes see, nor what his ears hear, and he will reprove all the wickedness. How about all the misrepresentation against the holy name? Isaiah 48 says that men have sworn by his name, but not in truth nor in righteousness. What they've declared is not truth, nor is it unto the fullness of the precept. Most High said he knew surely men would lie. He said he would not give his glory to be defiled or given to another. Why do people believe, my brothers and sisters, they really know what the name of the Most High is in terms of his precepts when the Most High said he's seen none righteous, no, not one? His name declares righteousness, my brothers and sisters. Revelation 19, all the precepts of his name, I can tell you. I remember one time Most High declaring to me the precepts of his name. And the number of combinations to all the precepts that contained in it was absolutely incalculable. But I will tell you this. Think about Revelation 19. The scripture says Messiah will come, for righteousness' sake, as faithful and true, to judge and to make war. In other words, to reprove the world for against all its unrighteousness, to reprove it of all its, let's just say, prideful standards that have been insufficient, after which so many have been robbed, deceived, thinking they perceive, but still yet blind. He said, I've come for the judgment of this world of those who men call, let me put this to you in a way that probably makes some sense. They put in your King James Version, I've come for the judgment of this world, those who see may become blind, and those who do not, those who see may become blind, and that those who are blind may see. What the scriptures are actually saying, that he comes for the judgment of this world, those who men think have insight, may be realizing their blindness, and that those who are blind, or formerly did not see, might finally comprehend. But the scripture says Messiah comes as one who is faithful and true. And the scripture says he has on him a name written which no man knew but he himself. Remember I told you Isaiah 49 says he will come forth saying from the body of my mother he made mention of my name. He said in the shadow of his hand as he concealed him. My brothers and sisters, if the true name was something that everybody knew, could someone having that name or called by that name be so easily hid? What makes people think they know as much as they think they know just because somebody patted them on the back and told them they knew? Our brothers and sisters, the scripture says known by those who receive it. And believe me, those who receive it know that whoever's granted it, knows that he has not granted it for it to be profaned, because the Most High does not want to be called out by his name or what truly is his name. At the mouths and the hearts of those who would resist being true to him. Do people think they can call upon his name according to their own imaginations? According to their own vanities, even their rebellious and resistance and worldly predisposition, and expect to be favored because they call upon his name after an inflammatory evil? Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Think about it. Scripture says you shall not take his name in vain or swear by his name in vain. Do we call upon his name to be taught by him or to declare what we think we know? My brothers and sisters, whoever will speak presumptuously according to his own imagination in the holy name damns himself and those, my brothers and sisters, who follow. Believe me, when the scripture says he gives his name, he reveals his name to those whom he will, there is a definitive reason why. How many of my brothers and sisters have the type of reverence that the Most High would trust them with the knowledge of his name? I want you to hear something. I want you to think about something. The priests themselves only spoke the name once every year. I said once every year on the Day of Atonement. What makes everybody think that if the priest only, and they passed it on secretly one to another, that it might be spoken by whoever is the high priest, and be passed on. What makes everybody think it's something that everybody knows? Let me tell you something. The high priest, if they did not cleanse their hearts to hearken truthfully to all the Most High declared, if they called upon the name, they were slain. If they called upon the name deceitfully, they were slain upon the mercy seat. They were slain upon the seat in which they petitioned the Most High for reconciliation if they didn't have their hearts open humbly to be truly taught. What makes people think, or brothers and sisters, or presume that they know so much when the scriptures have said otherwise? Or is it that men just refuse to acknowledge what the scriptures said that they would not know? Scripture says the Messiah is going to reprove all the rulers. It says he's going to reprove all the priests. Reprove them for their wickedness, their unrighteousness. They haven't sworn by what they thought was his name, but not in truth, nor in righteousness. Why do people feel like if enough people just agreed to something, that makes it so? Have people called upon the name? I've heard people call use name like Yahweh. Does everybody who use the title Yahweh, do they all agree? And what makes people think that's the name by which they all were saved? Hear me. The word saved means made whole. If you're made pure and perfect after a perfect word of the gospel and the word of the kingdom, guess what? If everybody called upon his name or were truly saved, guess what? There would be no agreement among those who use the name Yahweh. There's all folks who use the name Yahuwah. Like I said, they think that V is a U. That Vav is a U. I tell you now, not so. But if all the people who call themselves Yahuwah, call after the name Yahuwah, they've contrived. They think that's what it is after a four-letter tetragrammaton that I tell you already. Hebrew people will oftentimes, well, let's just say they traditionally oftentimes related names, the holy name, in a four-letter extraction. But that doesn't mean all the letters in the extraction are there. And certainly not all the consonants. I'll tell you that for a fact. The scriptures, and they believe that just because they call upon a name, they have a magical talisman by which they're favored, even in their differences, to be called true to him, true to his name. It doesn't make any sense. But brothers and sisters, evidence is right before us. Most High told me, if I could believe a multitude of contradictions or words of work, or work of his spirit, I cannot be a disciple unto him. Some people have thrown out all reason. Did you hear me? Thrown out all reason and said it's the Most High who taught them. That's a damn lie. And quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, anybody who really wants to sit back and think about these things will see them. We are completely, all of us, at the mercy of the Most High as to whether or not we discern the truth. And I hear a lot of folks tell me the other day, well, I can't believe all these people who don't. Well, somebody told me just the other day. They were talking to somebody on Blog Talk. They were talking about, well, all these good people. I can't believe all these, they said, all these good people. Good people. He said, I can't believe that all these good people that don't aspire to these ideas or don't know these ideas or don't listen to these ideas are lost. He said he couldn't believe that they're going to, as he put it, going to hell. Well, my brother says, who is it that decides what is good? Is somebody good just because they seem to be good or they agree with someone other than the Savior? Are people allowed to agree with other than the Savior and still say that they are made whole, acceptable, and pleasing before him? Think about it, my brothers and sisters. The gospel is a word. The gospel is a word, my brothers and sisters, that all must agree to, else they cannot be confirmed as firm, steadfast, reasonable, unto, let's just say, a firm foundation upon which an eternal kingdom can be established. Why do people believe that whatever they believe because they call upon a name and they have a bunch of different, a whole lot of contradicted doctrines. They think the Most High agrees with their differences. That's polytheism. That's not even faith. Scripture says faith comes by hearing a word from the Most High. In fact, the scripture relates that faith itself is a gift from the Most High. Listen to me. I'll repeat this again. If you can believe that a multitude of contradictions are true as a work of the Holy Spirit, that you have faith in him who is one. Let me repeat that again. Most High told me that if I could believe that a multitude of contradictions are work of his spirit, or the molding of his hands, he said if I could believe such a thing, I could not be a disciple unto him. I could not be one taught by him. In fact, that's like saying, okay, I believe everything else but what the Most High says completely, or some, they say, multitude of variances, partialities of pollutions, and I can believe all those and their differences. A multitude of scenarios, in fact, that don't include all the Most High said that you must expect. And people say because they believe all these differences and just called it by his name, that they believe in him. To believe a multitude of differences, my brothers and sisters, is love the heart of a devil. That's Babylon, my brothers and sisters. There's no 45,000 saviors. There's no 45,000 messiahs who are called to bring all Israel to the mind of one. Understand, my brothers and sisters, the scriptures have declared that the Most High declared a man through whom he will, I hope you understand, declare every man either acceptable or unacceptable before the Most High. In fact, he said he would judge all men by that man whom he has chosen. I want you to understand something. That does not mean that because you have this ruler in this country and that ruler in another country and this pastor in this denomination and that pastor in another denomination and their differences, that they will all be found acceptable. They call upon, like I say, titles that they believe are viable. But if they don't agree, my brothers and sisters, what's the deal here? Have they been saved? Have they been delivered from those who hide the truth? Or have they just so often refused to hear the truth and seek to keep others blinded as well in their lack of knowledge? I hear a lot of people wanting to debate. Debate comes from being double-minded, wanting to retain a multitude of small-minded allegiances. What do you want? Continue a debate or do you want an absolute? You ask the Most High to be taught beyond yourself. That's faith. You ask the Most High to be taught beyond the contradictions. That's faith in him who is one. Anything else is trust in, well, like I said, the Most High does not call himself what he is not. And that means, my brothers and sisters, one, those who say the Most High has affinity with all these multitude of differences, or any conglomerate of differences that men just don't realize in so many ways are contradictions. To say the Most High agrees with that. My brothers and sisters, I'm telling you now, how many understand that to lie against the Most High is a grievous sin? And nobody knows how not to lie against him for those whom he has called. Believe me, the Most High has already told me in so many ways, and I've said it many times on this show, to know what is said and not know why it is said is to miss the point. Right now, I'm telling you now, most of this world is graphically missing the point on just about everything. If you don't know the foundation, you don't know your eventuality, everything you have in between is out of line. The scripture says when the truth again is known, all the foundations of the earth will shake. All the cities of the nations will fall. All the various social misorientation of the world will fall because everyone will understand when a greater light is revealed that all had been in darkness. I repeat, all that is required for man to be in bondage is to lack the knowledge of what the Most High declared from the beginning as an eternal statute. He said, oh, that you kept my commandments and your peace would have been in the river and your righteousness is the ways of the sea in Isaiah 48. He said, the Messiah will come forth saying what? From the beginning, from the creation, there am I to show you the way that you should go. Well, guess what? It means till man has remembrance of what is the initial divine purpose, that he might perform that purpose, man falls short. Everyone is at the mercy of the Most High for that attainment of knowledge, if he is going to attain to what the scripture calls victory. It means he has to attain to the knowledge, my brothers and sisters, that the varied rulerships of this earth and their fallen states have never sought to fully recover. The scripture says when the Most High looked upon the children of men, he saw none righteous, no, not one. One scripture says he saw none who preaches the gospel in Isaiah 41. None who declares the solution. An answer, if he asked him a question. And the original Hebrew actually said that the answer is to recover what the Most High declared from the beginning. He said, "Behold, he was sent forth one. He said, behold, my servant, my elect, my soul delights. I put my spirit upon him. He's bringing forth what is justice. How about what is righteous before the Most High are true to all that he has ever spoken?" That is what the Most High has promised in the restoration of a covenant. Purity and completion offers one choice.
90 seconds.
I mean, I think about it. Yah desires that men call upon his name, he says, in times of trouble. He declares that men not only to call upon his name, I want you to understand the precepts of his name, but also to declare his precepts. His name declares who and what he is. He does not call himself what he is not. That they declare him as Savior, true in word indeed, true in all things. Dare men believe that they may do otherwise. Call upon his name according to what he knows he is not.
60 seconds.
Expect and receive favor for so doing. My brothers and sisters, being presumptuous where the holy name is concerned and calling upon it in times of trouble and not seeking him to be true to what he reveals as guidance if he is kind enough to show you the truth, only gets you into more trouble. You call upon him in times of trouble outside his name, and expect him to deliver you from trouble. Ezekiel talks about this custom like Easter that's coming up, for instance. He says, Most High said, if you do this custom, he says, you cry out to him with a loud voice in times of trouble. He says, he will not hear. Isn't it time, brothers and sisters, with Most High, we realize the Most High is consistent to all he says that he is? And that if he calls us to begin to see the truth, we must be responsible unto his name, unto his testimony.
10
Because only they, my brothers and sisters, be found worthy to discern that new name that men have not known. And to be found true to it, that they make an oath in wisdom and righteousness. Do we speak again, my brothers and sisters? This has been Adam Yah of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. To his might, to his honor, and to his praise always. Hallelujah. And I thank you all again for listening.